it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday.
This is a good time. It's a happy Thursday. It is a happy Thursday. You're dang right it's a happy Thursday. Do you want to know why?
Well, it depends on who you're asking if it's a happy Thursday. Some people had a very busy morning.
Yes, some people had a very busy morning.
We'll get to that in a little bit. If you have not heard, gambling arrests from the FBI over...
Not a good morning for some people.
...in the NBA. We'll get to some of that. A sitting NBA coach. But I want to start with some good stuff. I was at the game last night. The Sabres, a 4-2 win over the Detroit Red Wings.
Yes.
Colton Ellis on TNT having his first NHL game, his first NHL win, performs very well in a game that was wildly entertaining. Again, funny enough, a random Wednesday game like that was against Ottawa where they just decided to play incredibly well. And it is a good sign from this team, Derek, that they were able to perform as well as they did to go into what should be really fun matchups with Toronto. We'll talk about that this morning and plenty of other things as well. Pat Malacaro coming up at 10:30 to talk the Blue Jays in the World Series tomorrow. Sal Capaccio at 11. The Bills got back to practice yesterday. Max Harrison looked pretty good in some of the videos I saw, at least. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And yeah, do want to start with the Sabres. Because, look, they have not, early signs from the week, but we talked about it earlier this week when they did lose to Montreal of you can't stack losses. You have to keep building on the good momentum that you were having in the way you were playing. That you pick up the win against Montreal, against Florida. You play well against Montreal or Ottawa and Florida. You play well against Montreal. Don't get the win. Don't even get a point. But then you go up against Toronto or Detroit, excuse me. You don't have your elite goaltender that's been playing well in line. He finally gets a yep. day off. But it's not Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. It's not Devin Levi. It's a random guy from another AHL organization that you happen to just claim off of waivers, kind of as a hope and a prayer. We like his numbers. We'll see what happens here. We just kind of need a body in here right now.
And we needed that body because the guy that we signed right. in the offseason was so bad he is unplayable. And we need a guy. This guy also now happens to be available who has been developed by another team and has similar numbers.
Yeah.
And is close to age on the goaltender that you are seeing as the future. Colton Ellis might make the long-term goaltending positioning with the Sabres a very interesting question if they do a three-man rotation in net again. And it is because it is earned by Ellis, and they know that they can't put him on waivers.
Right, because he will get claimed.
St. Louis will get him back immediately, if not somebody else. Remember what we said, though, on Tuesday about, like, hey, oh, it was yesterday. You've been a good soldier. Here's your opportunity.
Right, here's a few games. Let's see if you can put some good tape out there.
Well, he certainly did. There were a couple of rebounds that I think he'd want to clean up.
Right.
And he was very aggressive with the puck. There were times where he just would not cover it, or he'd pass it off before the whistle goes. And a little excitable a little worrisome when you see that. And it's like, okay.
Settle it down. I liked what you were saying, though, in the post game where it was, you know, part of them almost wanted to get a shot early to settle them down. And the Sabres came out as hot as they have all year.
Dominated a team.
And he didn't face a shot for what, the first 8 to 10 minutes?
It was 10.
It was 10 minutes.
It was 10 minutes, 8 seconds.
Yeah. I can understand a little bit of the jitters probably there. Loved seeing his whole family kind of go through the just plethora of emotions of he stops two breakaway chances, one right out of a penalty, and then the other one, I think late in the first, does so well against those. Isn't helped by his defense, I think, in both of the goals let up. But that was a game I was very nervous going into last night. When we found out literally during the show that Ellis would be starting, my immediate fear was, oh no, this is where we're going to get sadly, the Ottawa goalie performance from last week, where it's first NHL start, here we go, we like him. Oh no, he doesn't even look capable of playing at this level. And Ottawa's out of the game before they can even really realize it. I mean, they still put 4 goals away in that game as well. You let up 8, you're going to lose that game 9 times out of 10.
I wouldn't even say 9. You're probably 8. 8 is too much.
8 is too much.
8 is historically too much.
And that was a fear of mine last night going into it of like, you can't start. I know Lyon needed some rest. I understand that. But it did make me nervous. But to see that performance out of Colton Ellis was great to see. He's almost definitely going to get another go here on Saturday when they do the back-to-back against Toronto. And now we're looking at the situation there with the Sabres. Toronto is not playing well up to this point this year. They're the opposite of the Blue Jays. The Maple Leafs have not looked great to start this year. And the way the Sabres are playing, without their top-end guys producing, does point to, I'm not saying you're going to sweep Toronto this weekend. I'd be really, perfectly honest, shocked if they don't get at least one win out of the next two games.
I'd be a little peeved if they don't get one win out of these next two games. And it is turning back into a conversation you and I had on Tuesday where I mentioned, because you were a little like miffed about the fact that they didn't get a loser point. They didn't force a way into overtime, even though they were really playing well. And I told you it was only the first opportunity for them to do so. But if they keep playing like this, they're going to snag points where we don't expect them to. And welcome to that part of the equation. It's not like you weren't facing like whoever Ottawa trotted out there. Last couple of goalies that you faced were Bobrovsky, John Gibson. And that's the fun part.
It hasn't
Dobesh,
even been, yeah, it hasn't
who
even
had
been
to earn
the,
that.
It hasn't even been the backup goalies. You got that in Ottawa.
You made them pay for it. It is, however, you keep playing like this, and this is what I put out on Twitter today of – not today, but like more or less, like I've been saying this since the Florida game. You want to keep messing around and playing like this? The fans are ready to get hurt again. They're ready to emotionally invest as long as you look like a competent hockey team. The team that we saw in the first 3 games of this season is a thing of the past, clearly it looks like. The malaise is gone. It seems like maybe it was the shock of the Norris injury, like how down players were feeling or something like that.
Especially after his preseason, it looked like, oh, okay, he's going to be one of your top two players.
Yeah, and so maybe that was something. There's some credence to that theory. But then you also hear it from Tage Thompson, Rasmus Dahlin in postgame. Central message said very differently by the two players. Thompson's saying it's not the end of the world. It's 3 games. And Dahlin saying we have to fix this. And it looks like the core message between the two of them is there. Even though they're not the ones performing well, mm-hmm. The message has been received. We have to fix this. It is only game 4 entering where they've been now. Like, it's only after 3 games that we're 0-3. It's not the end of the world, but we do have to fix this.
Right.
And that part of it has been played out by the team from the net outward. The defense looks very stable right now. And that's without your big ticket item in Michael Kesselring. The offense is getting depth scoring. Your leaders are Jack Quinn, Zach Benson, Josh Doan. Thompson, Tuck, Dahlin, not mentioned here. You have won 3 of your last 4 games and looked very dominant doing so, contextually speaking. Analytically speaking, You can use any measurement you want. The Sabres have been a good hockey team these last four games and playing it consistently. It is how you do it game to game. If you are going to keep stacking performances like this together, it may not all be wins. But if you keep playing like this, good things are going to happen. Are you, at minimum, last year's team without the poo-poo stinky losing streak? Because if so, we're going dancing. That's a playoff team. If you're playing like this, night in and night out, you're a playoff team because you're going to get wins against a team that won five in a row and is at the top of the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get wins against a Toronto team that
looks even average.
Even when you've been bad,
mm-hmm.
them coming here is almost a death sentence more times than not. The legendary radio broadcaster with Toronto, Joe Bowen, calls it the House of Horrors. Even though Toronto fans flock the stands,
right, yeah.
Buffalo is not a great place for them. And that's your next game, home against Toronto. Who, by the way, that fan base might have a peeking eye on something else that night.
I am so curious to see how that really does play out.
Very curious about that myself.
Because they move the times. That may not mean a ton.
Shuffled it by a half hour.
Right.
That's not changing much.
But I want to know if that is going to mean something. I think it should. Now, I'm saying this as a Buffalo fan where, yeah, like if a Sabres game is going on, but it's, you know, the Super Bowl or AFC Championship, right? Like we kind of know how that goes. Regular season team, you go over here. Playoff team, you're over here. We're going to pay attention
matter
to this.
Matter of fact, we've had both of those at some times.
We've
like
had
the Bills playing in an AFC Championship game or a divisional game, and the Sabres have to play that morning.
Yeah, and it's like.
Or that afternoon.
You're over here. Well, we're going to pay attention, but we're not going to put all of our energy into it. We're going to be over here. You got to imagine a team making the World Series for the first time since the 90s.
Since 93, 32 years ago.
And have ultimately been somewhat of these like cardiac cat kind of like vibes where they're just, they're lively, they're fun, they're young. You would think a lot of Toronto sports fans would also mix the sports, Maple Leafs, Raptors, Blue Jays, that they would be like, it's early in the season. I don't care. I'm locking into this, especially it's early in the series.
I'm watching.
If they were already down 2-0, 3-0, if it does turn into a sweep, that's an entirely different story.
That's a different story.
This game, game one is tomorrow.
Two. This is game one and game two. Game one at 8:06.
Mm-hmm.
About 8:06, 8:08, first pitch. We'll talk to Pat Malacaro, by the way, in 15 minutes about all of this. But, yeah, I'm curious what the crowd looks like because of that fact. Because there is a peeking eye on that, and it is, oh, here's my pot shot of the day. This is a team from Toronto that knows how to win a game seven. Okay, now that's over.
It's been the bugaboo.
It's been their bugaboo, but also.
Didn't the Raptors win their title in seven games?
They won a game seven against the 76ers.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I'm not sure if it was seven games against Golden State or not, but I do know there was a game seven when involved where Kawhi that shot.
Right. Yes. Yes. That might be,
that
I think, what I'm
down.
Thinking of.
So I'm curious about that. And that allows it to be Sabres territory maybe again for the first time in a long time. And it's just extenuating circumstances. Yeah. Regular season team. You go over here. I'll give you a pat on the head. We'll watch you on the side here. What's on the big screen? World Series. What's on the little TVs at the bar in Toronto? It's Sabres Leafs. Like, that's probably what it's going to be for these next 2 days.
They beat Golden State, by the way, in six.
Yes.
You were right, though, in the semifinals. They beat Philadelphia in seven. It's the shot.
It's that shot by Kawhi. So, again, what's going to be on the big TV in Toronto? Everywhere. World Series. Game one.
It's going to be
Blue Not
Days.
A doubt.
Yeah.
Not a doubt. If the Sabres are on a big TV somewhere in Toronto and we have the range that somebody's listening, please let us know because I'd be shocked.
I'd be questioning
decision
making.
But
I'm just genuinely curious about that.
But there are probably also pure hockey fans that don't give a lick about baseball that
right.
are going to make sure that they
right.
make their way down because traffic's going to be a nightmare in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's going to be a one-of-one type thing. Saturday in More importantly.
Saturday in particular. That's why that game, I think, was moved a full 2 hours. That is the full
yes,
2 hours.
Yes, that's
yeah.
the full 2 hour one. But to get back on track here with the Sabres themselves, the way that they are playing right now, Toronto does look average. As a matter of fact, there was already a little bit of Anthony Stolarz said something a little too strong in postgame about William Nylander, and they had to clear the air on that one. Okay, we're doing this already, Toronto?
Seven games in, baby. Let's go.
Seven games in, we're having the drama fest, and this is without Mitch Marner there anymore? Okay, that's your choice. Let it be. The Atlantic, again, I'm not sure how bad it is, so to say. You've got Detroit and Montreal getting off to hot starts. I don't know if Tampa is as bad as their current record shows, though, either. But this is where the Sabres need to take advantage of an opportunity because they started slow. But most of the usual contenders and safe playoff picks for the Atlantic have also started slow. Montreal and Detroit have taken advantage of it in the truest fashion. Those are the teams that you last played. But now you don't even steal one from Detroit. You beat it out of them.
Yep.
Convincingly. If you turn this around very quickly and it turns into, what did I say the watermark is? 12 to 15. You get out of the first 12 to 15 and you're looking like a top three team in the Atlantic. We've been fooled before. As recently as last year, as a matter of fact. But it is more or less. Zach, you were at the game last night in the press box. I was there on Saturday. Same thing. Upstairs. And you can tell. The crowd wants to feel something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I joke, but even those middle of the week games, it's a good crowd that is very lively.
And this is for a fan base that has dealt with 14 years of not being in the postseason. And more times than not, barely in the conversation for, I'd say, what, 12 of them?
Yeah, probably.
Now I'm looking at a team and a fan base that wants to get hurt again and wants to feel something. Zach, we put the tweet out and we had like 8 comments immediately on this thing. How tuned into the hockey team are you?
It makes it easy. They have very likable players. We've been burned by this too, but they have very likable players early. Josh Doan looks like a revelation for them in many ways. He's not a guy that's going to put up 90 points. Not even close. If he's a guy that puts up 60 this year, I'll be thrilled. But he does all the little things really well. Jack Quinn is maybe having a bit of a renaissance here. He had a 3-point night last night. He does it, by the way, in 11 minutes on the ice.
He was very productive last night.
Very productive in the quote-unquote, you know, minimal amount of time that he had. Alex Lyon also coming in kind of has that intense attitude, and he looks like the goalie you've been looking for 15 years.
Zach Benson has yet to get into the goal column. He looks like the most impressive player on the ice at times on a team that has a roster with Rasmus Dahlin and Tage Thompson on it.
And on those two, and to add Alex Tuck to that, we've already mentioned it, and I won't begrudge any fans who are disheartened by the fact that they're winning, but those three really aren't doing anything. But at least for me, with them winning and those three not doing much, and it's the depth scoring that's showing up, that to me is a good sign. Thompson, Tuck, and Darlene are all too talented of players to not eventually figure it out. They're going to get going. I like, though, is that in years past, if those three are, you know, before Tuck, Darlene, and Thompson aren't popping off, they're in hell.
Yeah,
and they don't know what to do.
Last year's team, for example, does not survive the top three not producing like this.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably looking at a 1-6 start to the season.
And it's already done, over with, just move on.
Just move on.
Get me to the draft, or honestly, for many people, don't even mention them to me.
Yeah, it's pretty much you're dead to me already, and we're out of here. They're also doing this, by the way, with a good amount of injuries to their roster. Josh Norris is expected to be the 1C for this team on paper. He's gone after the first game. Jordan Greenway, another player that is often banged up. He has yet to return to the lineup. Defensively, Kesselring out. Still out from an offseason little injury that he picked up. Bryson gets concussed. You're playing with guys like Zach Metsa or Ryan Johnson is playing, only averaging 9 minutes a game. The defense, Connor Timmins has been fantastic as an addition for them. Playing more minutes than I think that he's maybe even comfortable with. He's been averaging 20.
Yeah.
He's averaging 20-32. Matthias Samuelsson, being given a lesser role, has thrived in a sense. I would say he definitely looks like more of the player that got that extension in the first place as of late.
Looks good.
Don't make me regret those words. Because especially with Samuelsson, he's a guy that is a punching bag for a lot of players or a lot of fans.
Oh, yeah.
He's a punching bag for them because like he's not very physical when he needs to be. He doesn't answer the bell a lot in years past. This year, he's in those scrums. This year, he is involved in those plays. He is making good breakout passes. Oh, and Power. Power is playing third most minutes on the team right now, 22-18 per game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing a lot of the quiet things well. The penalty kill, he is featured heavily right now there. Something that in years past, people are probably terrified of.
Yeah.
You still want to see more out of him based on the contract that he signed. But right now, I'll take the, he's doing the quiet things well. But they even miss a game with Owen Power. That's the Rangers' disaster opening night. They miss a couple games with Samuelsson. They are dealing with the list of injuries that is almost matched the Bills, by the way. And the Bills have a 53-man roster.
They're getting through it.
They're getting through it. They're fighting through it. And to not have top production and to deal with the injuries that you are, to look as good as you've looked through four games and have a 3-1 record through those four games, and trying to overcome this 0-3 start, I bet you there are more curious faces right now than not.
So with that, 803-0550, the number two call. With the Sabres off to a little bit better of a start following that 0-3 start. They've won three of their last four. Are you tuned into the team? Are you getting there? Is it going to take a sweep of the Maple Leafs this weekend? Or are they just playing good hockey and you like it? They're getting a little feisty as well.
Are they spicy enough for
you? We haven't mentioned that either. Everyone seems to be willing to drop gloves at this point.
Kulik goes after like the wrong guy yesterday on the Benson hit for Seider's interference call. Mm-hmm. Kulik just sees the nearest Red Wing and goes
right at him.
Let's go.
And so they've got a little bit of fight to them. Funny. They're performing well and they good going to next week at 5-4, potentially taking out the Maple Leafs in two games. They look good. Toronto, not so much. But when we come back, we'll look at the other Toronto team, Blue Jays. World Series game number one in Toronto tomorrow night at 8 against the LA Dodgers. We'll talk to Pat Malacaro, get more on that when we come back. But first,
join WGR and Bud Light for a Buffalo Football Friday happy hour. Chopin Bulldog will be broadcasting live at Neighbor's Pub on Friday, October 31st on a Halloween night from 3 to 7 p.m. at Neighbor's Pub, 337 Kenmore Ave. We will have your chance to win a Josh Allen jersey. No purchase necessary. Enjoy other live broadcasts coming up at Leo's and Mitchell's as well. Bud Light, easy to drink.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 and older.
Wild pitch. High fly ball. Left field. A Rosarena. Watches it go.
George Springer's three-run home run that effectively clinched a World Series spot for the Toronto Blue Jays. Game one of the World Series is tomorrow in Toronto as they will take on the LA Dodgers. We'll be hearing from the voice of the Buffalo Bisons, of course, the minor league affiliate of the Blue Jays, Pat Malacaro here in just a few moments. Do want to pass on some information, though. FBI officials are speaking now on the NBA gambling ring.
Yeah.
Everything going on there. The arrest made for Terry Rozier and Portland Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups. That might be the biggest part of this whole thing. A sitting NBA coach is arrested. They're not the exact same thing. It sounds more like Billups was in a legal poker ring tied to the mafia, which feels insane.
Sounds like a Mad Libs.
Yeah, just absolutely incredible. But we go now to the Western Hotline. Pat Malacaro, the voice of the Buffalo Bisons, joins us here as we get ready for what feels crazy, Pat. I you know, thinking about the expectations for this Blue Jays teams at the start of the year, I think World Series is a bit of a pipe dream, to put it lightly.
It was and it wasn't. I guess it last year, to me, was a season that the Blue Jays needed to do some reflection. They were expected to be a playoff team last year. So what Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro did was they made a couple of trades this past offseason. They made some shrewd moves, even in season. But one thing the Blue Jays really did was they wanted to be the team that didn't strike out. They're not going to be a home run happy team like other teams in the American League, which is fine. If you can hit home runs and hit 2- and 3-run homers, that's going to win you ball games. The Blue Jays have a couple of guys that can hit homers. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is doing it in the playoffs, but really in the regular season, he will add the occasional power, but is a very good for average hitter. So what do the Blue Jays do? They go out and they make moves to be the team that strikes out the least, makes the most contact. We saw that start to really take shape once June rolled around. Late June, the Blue Jays sweep the Yankees up at Rogers Center, and they were off and running. And to me, from that point on, that was the statement series. We're for real. We need to make a run at this. We've got the roster to do it after a couple of years of disappointments, and we're seeing how that success has not only continued on, but is built as this season has gone on.
Pat, in order to continue talking about this, first of all, I need to hand you your flowers, which we did on Tuesday for Primetime Players when we mentioned that Pat Malacaro knows ball. Because the last time that you and I spoke about this, it was about can the Jays get themselves out of the 3-2 hole in the ALCS and get themselves to the World Series. And lo and behold, Pat, here we are talking about them, getting ready to go here. So first of all, great job by you once again saying the Jays have been fantastic with their backs against the wall. And now, I will say metaphorically, you've got the same kind of situation here against a Dodgers team that is the defending champions and has a roster on paper and in terms of spending that can make even an English Premier League team blush.
Yeah, and this isn't quite the Yankees murderer's row lineup, but this is pretty darn close, so let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I think this is going to be a very nip and tuck series, though. And the reason I say that is, yes, Shohei Ohtani put on a performance we have never seen before in the playoffs and probably the greatest postseason performance that the baseball has ever seen. So, yes, he did that. He's been pedestrian for the most part the rest of the playoffs. Mookie Betts has been good, slightly above average, but not great. Freddie Freeman, older, dealt with an injury, got through the playoffs last year, still hasn't been that same player. So your top three guys haven't been necessarily your top three guys, where you guys having that conversation earlier today in a different sport. But I do think this shows the depth of the Dodgers. Other players have stepped up. Will Smith is an all-star catcher, and he is very good for the Dodgers in bringing what he brings to the table. They are so deep. And, you know, whether it be Teoscar Hernandez, other players, the pitching staff has been so good, and this is why they invest in adding Blake Snell, adding Tyler Glasnow, and shedding some of the pitchers that helped get them to the World Series last year. This is as complete as a roster as possible. But again, when you go back to what we talked about the Blue Jays and the way that they're built to sustain and to stay in the series. And really, as long as the starting pitching, which has been very good, even Game 7, Shane Bieber bent but really didn't break. The starting pitching can be what we've seen for the last couple of months in the playoffs included. This is going to be a very entertaining series.
Speaking of that pitching, by the way, Pat, really the fun story for the postseason for the Blue Jays in terms of the pitching has been Trey Savage, who went through the gauntlet of every minor league club all the way up to the Blue Jays and now pitching, obviously going to be in the World Series. He's also pitched the second most innings, only behind Kevin Gausman. I mean, he has been one of the best players for these Blue Jays throughout this postseason run.
He has, and really the bugaboo against Trey Savage was his first appearance at whatever level it was at, and that happened in Buffalo as well. It's not good, especially the first inning. He's a very calm and stoic pitcher, but it's the internal nerves would get to him, and that would be something that would really rattle him in that open inning. Once he gets to the first, once he gets to that first start, he performs well. He didn't have that trial. The Blue Jays thrust him into a pennant chase when they needed a win in Tampa Bay against the Rays. He got the win for Toronto. He was rolling ever since. Yes, he has stumbled in the playoffs. He had one rough start in the playoffs, but has performed well outside of that. So here's a guy. He was drafted last year, suffered a collapsed lung, and didn't pitch again until the Arizona Fall League. That was by design, getting him healthy. We've seen a lot of teams do that with maybe an injured player, get them a couple of weeks down in the Arizona Fall League, which is going on right now, and get ready for spring training. And he did, and he has performed at every level. Only three appearances with the Bisons before being called up by the Blue Jays. So you talk about a fun young roster. A lot of the pitchers maybe on that pitching staff, just guys that don't know the moment is too big for them, right? It's the old young and dumb cliche, right? Like, guys just don't know how big the moment is until afterwards. And I'm not saying that's be a savage, but I do think there's some of that of, I want the ball. The moment isn't too big for me. I don't care that I'm a rookie. I don't care. I made six starts in the major leagues in my career. Give me the ball. So I'm half expecting Trey Savage to be the game one starter for the Toronto Blue Jays. John Schneider will meet the media in a couple of hours, announce the game one starter. He'll meet the media as well. So we don't know who it is yet, but and it lines up too with Savage likely being the game one starter for the Blue Jays. And you know what a story it's been.
An incredible story there, and the Blue Jays are not short on any storylines here, Pat, because Bo Bichette, he has announced that he's ready to go, he's good to go, but we'll officially get everything here today when it comes to the Blue Jays, what the roster might look like. If Bichette is coming back, Pat, what's the most logical way that the Blue Jays rework their lineup? Does Bichette just end up as the DH? It looks like maybe they've been trying him a little bit of work, practice a little work at second base from what I saw. And he hasn't played a lot of that in his entirety of his career, including the minors. So what would the lineup look like and what's most comfortable probably for the Blue Jays if Bichette is officially good to go?
Yeah, the two things in play are, is the need good enough to play the field and run the bases? And, you know, from all indications, yes. So if that's the case, he is in the middle of your defense on the infield. Does that mean that Andrés Giménez stays at shortstop because he's filled in admirably there and you move Bo to second for this playoff run? Probably. You've got the second best hitter in terms of most hits in baseball in Bo Bichette. So if he's healthy enough, he's on the 26-man roster. There's no question about it at this point. And then I don't think you see him at DH unless he can't play the field because, remember, George Springer has served as the DH all playoff long. The outfield has basically been Dalton Varsho in center with Addison Barger, Nathan Lucas, Miles Straw, the three that rotate the corner outfield positions, David Schneider a little bit as well. And remember, you have to take somebody off the roster in order to add Bo Bichette back. I'm not saying you don't do that for Bo Bichette. You do. But you know, does somebody come off the roster of that would be an corner outfield position and open up a spot for Bichette as well. So if he's good to go, and the other thing that does, it's something I talked to you and Joe Kelly about, Derek, going into the playoff for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He didn't have that protection of Bo Bichette. Would he be able to perform? Because the entire team had struggled in the three playoff series that they had pretty much the group had been in the past. Well, Vladdy answered that question resoundingly, but do you now get that protection once again, or does Vladdy provide the protection for Bo Bichette now? And does that move Nathan Lucas down to the back of the batting order, who's been so strong? So there's a lot of moving parts for John Schneider, not only where defensively Bo Bichette is in the field, but where do you slot the other players in that have been such an important piece of what this Blue Jays playoff run has been, and Nathan Lucas, Ernie Clement, Addison Barger. They've had the big hits at the big times when they've needed them, and how do you change that batting order to make it as complete as possible?
And speaking of the batting order, one of the kind of fun stories here locally is somewhat of a local kid, Ernie Clement from Rochester. He's only behind Guerrero in postseason OPS at over 1,000. He's been wonderful for them, Pat. But what was his season like leading up to this? I feel like I hadn't heard about him until the postseason started.
Yeah, Ernie Clement is a great story. And for folks that don't know, you're right. He's a Brighton, New York product, so just a suburb of Rochester. He was released by the Oakland Athletics in spring training in 2023, late in spring, actually. And there was a lot of familiarity. Clement was originally drafted by the Cleveland organization, Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins, coming from there, obviously. So they knew Ernie Clement quite well, a little bit. So Ernie Clement signs as a free agent on a minor league deal, joins the Bisons in 23, and really was a catalyst to what the team did on the field and off the field. He's has such a presence about himself. He's young, but he's old in terms of baseball age and having played the game for quite a while now. He went to the University of Virginia, and a very cerebral and heady player. So he's smart. He knows the game. He has great instincts and can play all over the diamond. He's been a third baseman. He's been your second baseman if you're John Schneider. If you ask him to play any of the infield positions, he'll do it. He never played first base, but I'm sure he'd pick up a first baseman's glove and give you everything he had. So he's one of those guys that he's been a glue guy, and he's been exactly what Toronto has needed. And there's a lot of players like that on the roster, and that's another aspect of why this makes it so fun. This is not a team, a Cinderella story of a team on a low budget. That is not the case. You've got two teams that have spent a lot of money. The Dodgers certainly a lot more high profile in terms of the money they've spent. Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s $500 million contract doesn't kick in until next year, but you still have a lot of money spent on the Blue Jays side. But you've had a lot of these good stories, like an Ernie Clement for the obvious connection. His batting, his walk-up song is the Isley Brothers shout song. I know on the video board here in Toronto, one of Ernie Clement's nicknames is Earn Dog, and they've got the kind of Zubas-type font behind his nickname. So he totally leans into the Buffalo Bills connection and is such a big Bills fan. So that's, such a part of this story as well of Buffalo and Toronto becoming such good sports partners over the last 6-7 years where, look, if you're a Bills fan, you were worried about Toronto taking the Bills a dozen, 15 years ago and a lot of the bad blood, so to speak, and kind of the, you can't take our team's mentality, but that's completely gone away. And to see whether it's the Bison's connection to the Blue Jays being their affiliate, the Josh Allen going up to Toronto and taking batting practice and becoming friends with some of the Blue Jay players, I think that's a part of the story of why, again, if you're looking for who to root for and why, just another reason why to give the Blue Jays a chance in this World Series.
All right. Pat Malacaro here on the Western Hotline, the voice of the Buffalo Bisons. Pat, thank you so much for jumping on with us. Enjoy this experience. I know you got a packed day today with Media Day and then game one tomorrow. It should be a blast.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.
Again, that was Pat Malacaro there on the Western Hotline, the voice of the Buffalo Bisons.
Anything you need, sights and sounds of Media Day or anything within Toronto for the World Series, follow at PatWGR. Pat will have you taken care of and ready to go. Don't forget, though, that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It takes only 30 minutes once a year to get a potentially life-saving screening. Schedule your mammogram today at Roswell Park with two convenient locations in Buffalo and Williamsville. Visit roswellpark.org/mammography for a quick appointment. Come back, wrap up hour number one. Rick, you're on hold patiently through that segment. We'll get to you on the other side here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you on a pretty chill Thursday on WGR.
Tailgate Trivia is back. It is presented by Total Sports Enterprise Buffalo. Listen during every Bills game for your chance to call in, answer the trivia question, and win autographed Bills merch. It is courtesy of TSE Buffalo. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on a Thursday edition of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Talking Sabres, talking Blue Jays. We'll talk Bills here in just a moment.
You know what's funny? Dan played the song there from Blink-182. Give me one good reason.
Right.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Sabres.
Sabres are doing that a little bit.
Give me one good reason for fans to start flocking back.
They're doing that. And we'll get to the phones here to talk to Sabres. Rick joins the show. Rick, how are we doing, man?
Doing good. How are you guys doing this morning?
Well, doing well.
So I go back to the beginning of the show when you said that fans are just ready to get hurt again. I'm on the other side of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. I refuse to let myself get hurt.
Fair.
That's very fair.
Before. They've done this before, you know. It's still really early in the season. And, you know, I need to see results. And by that, I mean I need to see them break this drought. I want to see these guys get a taste of playoff hockey in Buffalo. If they get that taste, then they'll know how important it is to play hard every game and get to the playoffs. If they can break this drought, I don't care if they get swept. Mm-hmm. They'll have that taste.
Yes.
And then I can get hurt.
Rick, real quick.
That's the way I feel about it.
Rick, while we got you here, I do want to ask, like, are you at least keeping a wandering eye on them right now? Or what's it going to take for you to get invested? Like, where's the benchmark for you in this season that I think that you'd be willing to be like, okay, maybe are they actually like, are they spicy enough that I can pay more attention?
Well, I'm watching every game.
Okay.
I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not completely ignoring them. It's just, you know, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop, so to speak.
That's very fair.
Every season for the past 14 years.
As you said.
I pay attention. I watch. I listen to WGR for the Sabres news. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm totally tuned into the Sabres. It's just, I don't allow myself to get too excited. I don't allow myself to get disappointed if they lose, because that's what I expect. Because mm-hmm. I've expected it for the last 14 years.
Right.
But if they can actually get to the playoffs, break this drought, then I can allow myself to get fully invested and allow the emotions to carry me through. That's Rick, the way I feel about that.
Rick, appreciate the call, and thank you for the little back and forth there. Because I am interested when people say, like, I'm not ready to fully buy into this sort of thing, or like, I'm, or to lesser extents, because Rick is watching all the games still. He does have his eye looking at them.
The emotional hedge is not there yet.
The emotional hedge is not there. And I understand that one. I do wonder about the lesser version of that, the person who has been so turned off by them that maybe now they're starting to look over here or not.
What's it
going to take for them to start watching them again, let alone the emotional investment that someone that, like Rick, is still watching every game. He's not getting too high. He's not getting too low because he knows the medium that he has to be at to watch them.
Yeah, there are all those fans out there just checking the phone in the morning going, oh, they won again.
And that's the thing.
Or they lost. What, you know, what have you.
Can the Sabres get those fans back?
Mm-hmm.
That's the task this year.
Now, it is important to bring up, you know, the other shoe to drop. We mentioned last year a few times. When the losing streak begins, they're 11-9-1.
They are third in the Atlantic, as a matter of fact, threatening for second.
Mm-hmm. And then they go on the lengthy losing streak. It all starts with 13. That 1-0 loss to Minnesota, a very frustrating loss.
A frustrating loss where they do play well, mm-hmm. actually. UPL is just out-dueled in that game by Gustafson, and it was a great game. It was a game that you'd be like, okay, yeah, you lose that one. The next one's Vancouver, where they steal a point where they have no business getting one.
Yep.
And you're like, okay, so you've lost two games, but you look okay. Then Colorado happened.
And it's the thing, like, and I know Paul's brought this up too. The Colorado loss where you're up 4-0 in the first and you lose 5-4 in regulation. I think for a lot of people, like, that's when the season felt over, and it's December 3rd. But we were all waiting for the other shoe to drop. And to be fair, I'm kind of with the caller too. Like, I'm having fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm also kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like,
yeah,
a part of me is sitting here going, cool, the top player, like, and I'm happy with the depth scoring, but a part of me sitting here with the top end guys not playing well, I'm like waiting for, and Tage has his worst year in years and he has like 25 goals.
You're basically Wile E. Coyote. You purchase something from Acme.
Yeah.
And you're waiting for the bomb to blow up in your face instead of finally getting the Roadrunner. Don't forget to enter at WGR550.com for your chance to win a free home heating system courtesy of T-Mark Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Whether your home needs a furnace, boiler, or ductless heat pump, T-Mark's got you covered. Last day to enter is October 26th of 2025. That's just 3 days away, people. Get it going. Hour number two coming up on the other side here. We switch over to football. With the Bills, Sal Capaccio joining us. Coming up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.